Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Orbis Pictus, also known as Orbis Centralium Pictus, is a landmark illustrated schoolbook by the 17th century educator Johann Amos Comenius. First published in 1658, it is widely regarded as the first broadly used children's textbook to systematically pair pictures with written explanations. Designed primarily for beginners, it served a double purpose, introducing children to Latin through parallel vernacular text and giving them an organized tour of the visible world through short lessons. Rather than relying on rote memorization, Comenius builds learning on sense experience and observation, moving from familiar concrete things to less familiar and more abstract ideas. The book is arranged as a sequence of theme sections that name objects, activities, and aspects of human life and nature, making it an early hybrid of language primer and child-friendly encyclopedia. Its method and ambition helped shape later approaches to visual teaching and practical language instruction. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, learning through pictures and the senses. A defining feature of the Orbis Pictus is its insistence that children learn best when instruction is tied to what they can see and recognize. Comenius pairs illustrations with brief textual descriptions so that words are anchored in sensory experience rather than treated as detached symbols. This was a major break from classroom habits that emphasize memorizing lists and rules with little reference to everyday reality, by presenting the world as something observable and nameable. The book trains attention and discrimination. Students are invited to notice differences among objects and actions, and then connect those distinctions to language. The approach also has a practical classroom logic. Images give teachers and learners a shared reference point, reducing dependence on lengthy verbal explanation and helping beginners, including those who struggle with abstract definitions. In modern terms, Comenius is building a multisensory pathway for comprehension and retention, while also encouraging a habit of inquiry. The book does not merely decorate lessons with pictures. It treats visual representation as a central tool for understanding, making it an early model of structured visual pedagogy. Secondly, a dual-function language primer and mini-encyclopedia, the Orbis Pictus is not only about vocabulary. It is also a guided survey of common domains of knowledge, organized into many short topic-based lessons. This structure lets the book operate as a language primer and a compact encyclopedia at the same time. Learners encounter words in context, tied to recognizable scenes and everyday categories such as nature, trades, household life, and social institutions. Instead of studying Latin as a purely grammatical system, students meet it as a naming and describing tool for the world around them. That blend of language and subject matter reflects Comenius's belief that words and things should be learned together. The result is a curriculum in miniature, where language acquisition and general education reinforce each other. A child who learns terms for animals, tools, or occupations is also building a mental map of how the world is arranged and how human life functions within it. This is one reason the book remained influential for so long. It offered schools a single resource that could support literacy, language learning, and broad knowledge building in a coherent, incremental format. Thirdly, from the known to the unknown gradual, ordered instruction. Comenius designed the Orbis Pictus to move step by step, beginning with what is easier to grasp and extending toward what is more complex. The teaching sequence reflects a general pedagogical rule associated with his wider educational writings: proceed from the familiar to the unfamiliar, and from concrete instances to more abstract understanding. In practice, the book favors short units and manageable chunks of information. Children are first given naming tasks and simple descriptive statements before they are expected to handle more demanding linguistic or conceptual material. This approach also reduces cognitive overload. Instead of confronting beginners with dense grammar, the book builds confidence through comprehension of visible examples, which can later support more formal study. The ordering of topics functions as a scaffold, helping learners assemble knowledge in a stable way rather than as disconnected facts. Even when the content reflects the worldview of its time, the instructional logic remains recognizable: careful sequencing, repeated exposure, and steady expansion of both vocabulary and understanding. That gradualism is central to the book's longevity as a teaching model, not just a historical artifact. Fourthly, teaching Latin alongside the vernacular. A major innovation associated with the Orbis Pictus is its use of Latin together with a learner's native language. Rather than insisting on Latin-only instruction from the start, in Comenius's educational context, Latin was still a dominant language of schooling and scholarship, but many students encountered it through methods that separated it from their lived experience. By pairing Latin with vernacular equivalents and grounding both in pictures, the book makes translation and meaning explicit, allowing learners to build a usable vocabulary more directly. This also reflects a broader educational reform impulse: language learning should be practical, comprehensible, and connected to real objects and actions. The method anticipates later bilingual and contextual approaches, where comprehension precedes heavy analysis. It also widens access, because students do not need prior mastery of Latin to begin learning. While different editions and translations vary by language pairing, the core idea remains stable: use the native tongue as a bridge, not as an obstacle. The book thus helped normalize the notion that early education can be multilingual and that effective instruction respects the learner's starting point. Lastly, Universal Education and a Reforming Spirit. The Orbis Pictus is often read alongside Comenius's broader vision of educational reform and universal schooling. While the book itself is a practical classroom tool, it embodies a moral and social claim: education should be made workable for children as they are, not only for the elite who can endure traditional methods. The emphasis on clarity, sensory grounding, and orderly progression is part of making learning accessible and humane. Comenius is also historically associated with arguing that education should extend broadly across society, including to the poor and to girls, an inclusive stance for his era. The book's design supports that ambition by lowering barriers to entry and by presenting knowledge as something that can be systematically shared. Its subject matter, organized as a tour of the visible world, suggests that basic understanding of nature and human life is a common inheritance, not a private privilege. For modern readers, the value is not that the content matches contemporary curricula, but that the book illustrates how pedagogy can be shaped by an ethical commitment to clarity, accessibility, and the dignity of the learner. In conclusion, The Orbis Pictus is best read today by educators, historians of education, language teachers, and anyone interested in the origins of children's books and visual learning. For classroom practitioners, it offers a durable lesson in method: connect words to things, make learning observable, and build knowledge in small, well-sequenced steps. For historians and general readers, it provides a clear window into how a 17th-century reformer tried to reorganize schooling around experience, rather than mere recitation. The book's practical benefit now is less about adopting its specific content and more about studying its instructional design. It demonstrates how pictures can function as a core teaching tool, how bilingual presentation can accelerate comprehension, and how broad subject matter can be used to motivate language learning. Compared with other early textbooks, it stands out for its systematic integration of illustration and text, and for its ambition to teach both language and a structured view of the world. That combination helps explain its long influence and why it remains a reference point for discussions of modern pedagogy, visual instruction, and accessible education. If you would like to support Johann Amos Comenius, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.